thinking about going solar, but not sure whether.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Close like no other, yeah. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
Just think about his goodness. Think about his goodness.
all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Hey, yeah, can you say that? I see the evidence.
Come on, rise up. I see the evidence and the promises. Come on, where at? All over my life. All over my life. Come on, come on, it's Monday. Yes, come on. We're going to turn it up a little bit. We're going to turn it up a little bit. It's rise up time. Come on, it's for Jesus. Come on. I see the promises and the evidence of your goodness. Come on.
Something kind of special, but sing it.
Gentlemen, good morning on this beautiful Monday morning from the Hawkeye State of Iowa. I don't know about you, but I was in here doing this. I was doing the Carlton. You know what I mean? I was having a blast in here. I was two-stepping in here. I was spinning around. I had my hands up for the Lord this morning because I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. And I see the promises of fulfillment every single nanosecond of my life. I just have to be willing to accept and receive it. That's all. That's all. I just have to be willing to accept and receive. I want to say good morning to you. Good Monday morning to you. On this beautiful Monday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. Central Standard Time, 6 a.m. on the West Coast. And so many people are up in the morning, waking up, rising up, getting ready for Rise Up. I've seen people in the chat say, I have never been a morning person. It is very difficult for me to get up in the morning. But not for Rise Up, because I need it. Yeah, I need it new. I need it now as well. Is that a soccer shirt you're wearing? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That is a soccer shirt that I am wearing this morning. This is the New England Revolution because my son and I are big New England soccer fans. And now we have to be able to become Midwest soccer fans, maybe Sporting Kansas or St. Louis or something. 8 a.m. in Texas, already at work, said Furry Grizzly. CQ said, nothing like good praise and worship in the morning. Amen. Amen. The one I am said the Carlton. He said, oh, yeah, I was in here. Bum, ba-bum, bum, ba-bum, bum, ba-bum. It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual. You know, I was just having a good morning this morning. I'm bright in spirits. Holy Spirit is working hard in my life today. What a great weekend that we had. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I was really thanking God this weekend because we were doing a lot of stuff continuing to, you know, unpack and get ready to, you know, continue our life here in Iowa, going back and forth from here in New Hampshire, whenever God permits and budget permits. And Sabrina and I, you know, I wouldn't say under a lot of stress or anxiety or anything like that, but, you know, there's a lot coming with five kids and moving and setting back up and studios and this and that. And our kids, I got to tell you, our kids are like, they have like a master's in breaking stuff. You know what I mean? Or, you know, screwing something up pretty bad or whatever. Our kids are, if they can break something, they will, even as teenagers. Yesterday, my wife and I were put to the test. Something, you know, stemming from the kids. And usually in these trying test times, my wife and I would fail, whether it be her fault or my fault. We would fail each other and we would fail our relationship and we would fail God because we have like differences in the way that we see things or difference in the way that we parent or, you know, whatever it is. And I got to tell you, yesterday that happened. And my wife and I did not raise our voices. We did not, you know, get cross with each other or need space. It was an immediate, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. And I'm sorry, I shouldn't have taken it that way. Big hug, big kiss, boom, move on throughout the day. And that right there was many of the fruits of the Holy Spirit at work. And I remember doing a show, a Godcast, here on Rise Up about the nine fruits of the Spirit. And I remember we never did like a counter show to that to talk about the opposite of the nine fruits of the Spirit. What happens if you produce the bad fruit and not the good fruit, and how to notice that? What is the opposite of each one of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit? And I thought today, because my wife and I were able to overcome so much in the last few months with our guidance with God, I thought today would be a great day to highlight those things, or spotlight those things, I should say, so you can see if they're at play in your life. Steelers says, I started reading the Bible yesterday and have a question about Revelation 4:4. Talks about 24 elders with the golden crowns. Who are they, if you know? I can't understand the Bible and the terms. Thank you, Jeremy. First of all, I'd ask you, what version are you reading? And I don't know who each one of the 24 elders are with the crown. I'd have to go and look and read in context with what you're reading. But I would ask you, what version are you reading? And if you can't understand a certain version in certain terms, I would definitely suggest reading a version that you do understand in the terms that you do understand it. So when you're reading things in context, you'll be able to understand what they're talking about. I'd have to go there and I'd have to actually look it up and check it out, which, you know, kind of makes me want to do now. So I will do those. I will do that. But again, I ask what version you're reading, because you just might be reading a version that is very difficult for you to understand now, but maybe not in the future. You know what I mean? So anyway, we're 19 minutes past the hour. Please rumble and share. Usually we have 1,300 people at this time, but I know people are on vacation during the months of June and early July. So if you're just joining in and you forgot to share, maybe do that. And maybe please give us a rumble. I'd also like to say happy birthday to Bisbee, because it's Bisbee's birthday today. So happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bisbee. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Hope it's a good one for you. Now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jeremy, I love your hat. Thank you very much. It was sent to me by a great Rise Up LFA family member. All right, here we go. Lord and Heavenly Father, on this beautiful Monday morning in which you've created, on this beautiful planet which you've created, in this wonderful universe in which you've created, in our lovely holy bodies in which you've created and given to us, we thank you so very much for discernment of the Holy Spirit, and also for the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit that we can start to embody and apply into our lives one by one or all at the same time. Because we know that when we apply those characteristics of ourselves in our lives, the characteristics that show the nine fruits of the Spirit, Lord, the world opens up for us in a way that it does not open up for the people traveling the wide road. It is knowledge that you provide us on the narrow path in this fallen world that we receive from applying the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, or showing the growth of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit within ourselves. But I think it's very important, Lord, today, and obviously you do as well, or you would not have weighed this on my heart, to talk about the opposites of the nine fruits. Because so many of us apply these opposites in our lives daily, whether it be one, two, four, or all nine. And Lord, today we would really, really, really appreciate you and the Holy Spirit guiding us through this message, through the gospel, so that we can pinpoint, spotlight, or highlight any of these areas that we need to cut out of our lives in order to show the growth of the good Holy Spirit fruit. We thank you for this in Jesus' name, and we pray, amen. Amen. So you guys remember that episode? You remember that episode of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? So today, like I said, I'd like to talk about the opposite of the Nine Fruits, as well as show a Ray Comfort video, as well as read from my devotional books, etc., etc. Amanda Collins says, there are several devotional apps breaking down the content verse by verse. Yes, and a McCarthy Study Bible is also very, very, very beneficial. I love John McCarthy. I love the McCarthy Study Bible. But really, any study Bibles that you can trust or that you can understand is a good way to start breaking down each verse, each word of each verse, okay? W. Wilson says, our church, Pastor Greg, will be doing a conference honoring Israel July 21st and 22nd. We would love for you to join, but it should be live streamed if not. Well, I'll reach out to Pastor Greg and I'll ask him, you know, if there's some way we can get involved to help live stream it. I don't know if I'll be able to go down there, but no, that would be really great. Thank you for letting me know. Amanda, yes, Jeremy, that is a great Bible, too. Thank you very much. I agree. All right, we're approaching 1,000 people here. Please open up your morning newsletter from jeremyharrell.com or from lfatv.us. The Steelers on the outside, it may say KJV or NLT. Yeah, Steelers, if you want a Bible that is very easy to understand and one that, I mean, when you start getting into different versions, you really got to go through each line by line to find out one that's, you know, solid or not. But the ESV is a pretty good one. The ESV is a pretty good one to understand. There you go. Andy says, I love my ESV study Bible. Yeah, ESV is a very, very good one. Bible Gateway app on the phone, that's very good as well. YouVersion has a lot of study stuff in it as well. Patriot Patty says, no, I don't know about the nine fruits of the Spirit. Well, you're in luck today. Please open up your morning newsletter. And if you, for whatever reason, still don't follow the new morning newsletter, because you won't simply just go to jeremyharrell.com, scroll to the bottom of the page and sign up for the morning newsletter, I'll tell you where you can go in your Bibles. And where you can go in your Bibles is Galatians. We're going to talk about the nine fruits of the Spirit. Galatians, it's in the New Testament, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, okay? I'll say that again. Galatians, chapter 5, should be after Corinthians, verse 22 and 23. Okay. Now, here's how I started off the newsletter for those who didn't get theirs or who don't follow it. Good morning. Have you ever eaten bad fruit or went to get fruit in your kitchen and it was bad, stinky, or moldy? Well, today we're going to talk about that. Galatians 5:22 and 23 tells us what the nine fruits of the Spirit are. Now, if you typed in rise up fruits of the Spirit, you would probably get that one show that I did probably 200 episodes ago, right? Here we go. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. These are nine of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So again, love. Do you embody that? Joy, do you have that? Peace, do you have that? Patience, kindness, do you have those things? Goodness, faithfulness, do you have those things? Gentleness, and maybe one of the hardest ones to really start applying, self-control. Thank you, Lone Star, for putting all of those in there and CQ as well. So now if we go to the verse of the day today and we read those nine fruits of the Spirit, which we've studied in depth in our other show, we now need to go and find out, dropped my paper. We now need to go and look at what the opposite of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, goodness. What are the opposites of those things? Because it's easy to say, well, I do that. It's easy to say, well, I have love and joy, and I have peace and kindness, and I have patience and all that. It's very easy to say that. But if you also have any of these that I'm about to read to you right now that I jotted down on this piece of paper, then we've got some things that we need to correct. Amen? Let's get into that today. So let's start with love. And I think these do go in order. I think the way I read you to them, or you them to you, is definitely in order of the Bible, which means maybe they're put in order for a reason. Nothing's by accident in the Bible, right? Maybe they're put in that order for a reason. So let's start with the number one. What does God say that we are to do over any and all things? Love thy neighbor. And he says that loving thy neighbor is the most important commandment given. God says that. I didn't say that. Love thy neighbor. There is no more important commandment than loving thy neighbor. Love, L-O-V-E. The reason why we were created to begin with was L-O-V-E. The reason why we were able to have free will is so we could L-O-V-E. So let's get into this. What is the difference, or the opposite, I should say, of love? Hatred, indifference, and selfishness. Do you know how hard it is not to hate a child molester? Do you know how hard it is not to hate pedophiles? Do you know how hard it is not to hate, as a leftist, Donald Trump? Do you know how hard it is to not hate corrupt politicians on both sides who destroy this country hour after hour, day after day, and yet there's nothing that we can really do about it unless we go full-on civil war? It is very, very hard not to hate. And if you don't believe me, what would you do if you saw a video of a guy that you were on the jury of his murder trial, and because you were on the jury of his murder trial, you were able to see the video in which he raped and molested a young girl or a woman or a young boy or whatever, and then murdered them? Could you have love in your heart for that? Now, you can't have love in your heart for the act of the sin or the evil, but that's not what I'm asking. Can you have love in your heart for the person that embodies that kind of grotesque hate and cruelty? When you start getting into the nitty-gritty of things, you start compartmentalizing and breaking down hatred and things like that, you really start putting the mirror of the Ten Commandments right on yourself, don't you? Now, I remember seeing a video of a courtroom where something like this happened. And a family was there whose daughter and sister was brutally raped and killed. the attacker got life in prison without the possibility of parole because there was no death penalty in that state. The sister of the murdered, raped young woman was able to speak at the trial before sentencing was given out. Each family member was given an opportunity to speak to the attacker, write to him. The sister of the raped and murdered woman asked the judge if instead of saying words to the attacker, if she could hug him, forgive him, and pray for him. The judge, after careful consideration and security there, agreed and obliged to her request. The sister left the audience section. She wasn't a part of the jury. She walked up. The guy was on the stand. He came down off the stand. She hugged him. She whispered into his ear that she forgave him. And she prayed for him. Talk about setting an example where we all would probably fall short. Let's move on to joy. Joy is something that you cannot get outside of God. Now, you can be happy. You can gain happiness. But can you gain joy outside of the love, mercy, and grace and salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven, God? No, it is impossible. The opposite of joy is sadness, despair, and unhappiness. Somebody asked, how did he react to her kindness? They both embraced and cried. He cried, she cried, the whole court cried. Now, does that mean that that man is saved? Nobody knows. God knows. We don't know. But she didn't forgive him for his benefit. She forgave him so she could move on in her Christian life. Very, very different reasons than you might think. That's heavenly. That's the fruits of the Spirit right there. Now, do you have any hatred or indifference or selfishness in you? If you do, you might need to work on that. Joy. The opposite of joy, sadness, despair, and unhappiness. Do you have sadness? Like constant sadness, not meaning do you get sad. Everybody gets sad. We're human beings. It's an emotion. It's a feeling that we all have once in a while. It's not what I'm asking. If somebody were to describe you, would they describe you as a sad person who is in despair and who is unhappy? If that is the case, then you do not have joy, pure joy, in your heart, which means you've got some work to do. Love and joy. Now let's move on to peace. Things that you get when you love thy neighbor and when you accept and receive your joy in your heart. Peace. Peace will be with you daily. What is the opposite of peace? Anxiety. Now that's a big one, isn't it? Let's take a drink here. By the way, sip on that coffee. Ladies and gentlemen, the store will be back in just a few weeks, just a couple weeks, and we're going to have Rise Up Coffee back on the menu, new store, new merchandise, new coffee cups, new everything. Anxiety. How many of you have it? How many of you take pharmaceutical medication for it? You don't need it. Anxiety is not something that you physically have like a disease. Anxiety is something that you physically allow because of Satan's lies. You don't have to allow anxiety. Anxiety is not something that you just get or catch because your immune system is bad. Anxiety is a choice. Do you have it? And if you do, you've got some work to do so that you can have peace. Jana says, not anymore, with a bunch of exclamation points. Not anymore. Bad Moon said, sorry, not sorry. You bring evil into my life, I end it. Well, God says vengeance is his and justice is his, not ours. But I understand what you mean. God didn't give us his word that's open to interpretation, and he didn't give us the Bible so it could be open to interpretation. So we don't get to decide how we handle things. God does. That includes me. Opposite of patience. Frustration and agitation. Do you get frustrated a lot when something doesn't go perfectly your way right away? If you're trying to put together, say, some furniture from IKEA or Walmart or wherever it is that you shop, and something doesn't go exactly your right, do you get frustrated real quick? Do you get agitated real quick? Do you get agitated when somebody doesn't get to the point when they're trying to tell you something? Bad Moon says, that's good because they will be meeting God that day to be judged and you'll be in hell. Shane, that's straight out. That's not from me. Shane, if you're a billboard for God, you can't go around murdering people or killing people. Now, if they bring evil in your way as of self-defense, that's one thing. Bad Moon says, I won't judge. I'll just arrange the meeting for being evil. What kind of evil are you talking about? Self-defense? Or are you talking about just people being evil and you're going to murder them? Because if so, you'll be in hell. So not that smart of a move, I don't think. Now, if it's in self-defense and you're trying to save somebody from rape or murder, then 100% that kind of evil. But if you're just talking about people coming into your life with evil intentions and you're going to kill them, probably not your job to do that, right? Trust me, I've taken matters into my own hands many times and it never works out. Now, self-defense, there you go, Bad Moon. Now you're talking my language. You got to make sure that you clarify that if you're talking in front of a people full of God so they know what you mean. Because that kind of rhetoric is very contagious and other people say, oh, me too, I'm patriotic, America. Carla says, Old Testament, that's why we live by the new one. We are not under the law of the Israelites in Deuteronomy or Leviticus. We are under Christ's new law of love. If you're frustrated or agitated a lot, then you are not experiencing patience, or you're not showing patience. Bad Moon, no, they don't know what you mean, because I didn't know what you meant. So you got to be very careful when you say that stuff, because I didn't know what you meant. Because evil comes in many forms. It doesn't have to be where it's going to rape and murder you. But you are right. You are supposed to stop evil right where it stands. Doesn't always mean by killing it and sending him to God. I just wanted to make that clear. How about kindness? What is the opposite of kindness? Cruelty. I actually looked up the definition of cruelty because I wanted to see what the word cruel meant by definition in our English language. Let me read it for you. The definition of cruelty is callous indifference to or pleasure in causing pain and suffering. That means if somebody's cruel, they get pleasure out of causing somebody pain and suffering. Similarly, behavior that causes pain or suffering to a person, animal, or living thing. You get pleasure out of that. Sandra, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth is from the Bible, taken out of context very, very badly by a lot of people, usually atheists and agnostics, and it was also an Old Testament, not New Testament. Behavior that causes physical and mental harm to another person, especially a spouse, whether intentionally or not. Another definition of cruel. Anybody embody that? Does anybody feel that they are cruel? Do you enjoy causing other people significant pain, physical pain, suffering, or harm, mentally or physically or emotionally? Let's move on to goodness. The opposite of goodness is evil or immorality. Now, here's the kicker. Jesus said there is none good but God, so how can you embody goodness if Jesus says there are none good but God? How can you be good? How can you not be evil or immoral if you can't be good? You're made good and you're made righteous through Christ. That's how. You're made good and you're made righteous through Christ. Without Christ, you are evil and immoral, period. It's that simple. You don't have to act or engage in evilness or immorality. You're born into it. Your flesh embodies evil and immoral things. Through Christ, he washes that clean. Jeremy, are you saying only the New Testament matters? Because I tell my husband the whole Bible matters. Nope, not saying that at all. If I was, I'd say the New Testament only matters. Not at all. What I'm saying is we are not under Old Testament Leviticus Deuteronomy law any longer. We are under New Law, which is New Testament. However, Old Testament is foundational. Old Testament shows how God had people deal with things before Christ came to wash sin away. Before Christ, a lot of things had to be taken upon somebody's own hands in the name of God in order to do it. But again, it's very easy to say God had millions of people slaughtered and babies and animals slaughtered for no reason, but that's not the case either. When you take it out of context and reading the Old Testament, you'll see that God had very evil societies and communities wiped out because there was no other way. So no, all the Bible matters. The whole Bible matters. But we do not live under Old Testament law or ruling anymore. We live under the law and the covenant of Jesus Christ. Maybe someday we'll do a 2-hour special on the difference between the Old and New Testament, but why we need both. Let's move on to faithfulness. The opposite of faithfulness is inconsistency. If you're faithful, you're faithful consistently. Every day, you know God is in control, the Holy Spirit is guiding you, and Jesus makes you righteous through what he did on the cross. That's consistent. As soon as you become inconsistent in your daily activities, thoughts, promises, goals, achievements, as soon as you start becoming inconsistent, then you are not faithful. Gentleness. The opposite of gentleness, brutality, and aggression. Kat says, are we in times where there's no other way? Not yet. Not yet. There's still plenty of God-fearing Christians that walk around this country and embody the message of Christ in the gospel daily. So not yet. Inconsistency. How many of you would say that you are an inconsistent person? If you do, if you can, then you've got some work to do. Ivana, so that is why the Old Testament, they gave animal lambs to God. Today, we don't have to do that because Jesus did it for us. Amen. There's a lot of things we don't no longer have to do because of Jesus. Amen. The new covenant. We live under that. The gospel. Right? That's right. Barbara Peter says, Jesus is in the whole Bible from the beginning until the end. That's right. That is right. And Jesus has no end and no beginning. Right? Gentleness, brutality, and aggression. Do you have aggression or brutality in you? And again, not to for self-defense, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about brutality and aggression, something that you embody, love, and desire. If you do, you got some work to do. And the last one, self-control. The opposite of self-control is impulsiveness and recklessness. Doing without thinking. Doing without consulting God first. Doing without making God a part of that do. That is the opposite of self-control. And self-control, for me, is a big one. And because it is Comfort Monday, and because I don't want to cut into his time, it is Ray Comfort time, ladies and gentlemen, because we need to be comfortable on this beautiful Monday morning. Ray Comfort, folks.
Are you sorry for your sins?
I am most definitely sorry for my sins. I am appalled at my sins.
Do you have a bucket list?
If I have a bucket list?
Yeah, what's your bucket list?
I don't think I have a bucket list.
There's nothing you want to do before you die?
I want to leave a letter to my family. I've actually talked to them about it. I tell them that it's something hard. It's something that we don't want to think about. But death can happen at any moment.
So you would like to leave a letter to your family?
A letter to my family.
You know what that's called? Called a will.
A will, yeah. A will, a testament.
So how old are you?
I'm 27.
So what's happening to you when you die? Where are you going?
Well, I like to believe that whatever happens when you die is what you believe in. Whatever you put your energy and mind to is what is exactly going to happen.
Let's take that to its logical conclusion. When I die, I believe I'm going to float on the back of a pink elephant through yellow custard forever. Is that going to happen?
I believe so.
It's not. Pink elephants can't fly. And there's not enough custard for me to float forever, and it would go off. Our beliefs don't change anything. You look at the sun and believe it's made of ice, it won't change. So our beliefs mean nothing. What matters is truth, Antonio.
I think the truth is whatever you think is going to happen.
Where'd you learn this from?
There's some things that I can tell you, but you will never know about it until you actually really see them.
Well, tell me. Let's see how we go.
When I was in placement, this one drug called Spice... It was a synthetic drug. It had over 10,000 chemicals. And I smoked it. I was 15, 16. I didn't know any better. I just wanted to feel something. It felt like forever. It felt like eternity. It was like one of the most scariest things that I could imagine. I would have rather died. And I slowly brought my mind back from insanity, back to where I was. And all it took was one split second.
Do you believe in a place called hell? Jesus warned of a place called hell.
I feel like that was hell, eternity, just something playing over and over and over. It felt
like
hell.
You had a little taste of it.
Hell yeah.
Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Fear not him who has power to kill your body and afterwards do no more, but fear him who has power to kill your body and destroy your soul in hell." You don't want to go to hell, okay? It's a terrible place. Do you believe in God?
Yes, of course I do. I believe in the universe. I believe in the Almighty. And something is definitely keeping all this.
Okay, do you believe in Jesus?
Of course.
Where are you going when you die?
I would like to think I'm going to a place where I see my family, all my loved ones.
Are you a good person?
I have sinned, but I have done more good than wrong.
A lot of people think like that. I've sinned, I've lied and stolen, blasphemed God's name, committed adultery, fornicated, but I've done some good things. Well, try that in a court of law. You say, "Judge, I've broken the law really bad. I've robbed a bank, shot a guard, but I want to tell you about the good things I do." The judge is going to say, "What are you talking about? This is a court of law." Yeah. I'm not here to judge you on the good things you've done, but on the crimes you've committed. So let me go through the commandments and see what crimes you've committed. How many lies have you told in your life?
More than I could count.
You ever stolen something?
Of course.
So you're a lying thief.
I'm a lying thief, yeah.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah, of course.
Do you love your mom?
I love my mom, yeah.
Would you ever use her name as a cuss word? Do you respect your mother?
Oh, now I do. Now that I'm older, yeah, of course.
But you don't respect the God that gave you a mother because you've taken his holy name and used it as a cuss word.
Yeah.
That's called blasphemy, Antonio. Blasphemy. It's very serious. Now, Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her
That's
in your
true.
Heart.
I've done that many, many times. I used to look at a woman and not look at nothing but her face and think that's a beautiful woman. But as time passed by, I was corrupted. And now I can, first thing I look at a woman is her body, not her face.
That's normal for
Sadly,
a guy. Yeah.
Forward.
Have you had sex before marriage?
Yeah.
Okay, here's a summation of your court case on Judgment Day. Antonio, you've told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating, adulterer at heart. And you have to face God on Judgment Day. If he judges you by the Ten Commandments, you're going to be innocent or guilty.
I would be guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell.
The Bible says all liars live their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer, no fornicator will inherit God's kingdom. So you're in big trouble. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. In other words, God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge who looks at a criminal who's committed murder, but he says, I'm a good person.
Yeah.
The judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what you've earned. And Antonio, sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row, and your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin.
Yeah. Wow, that's very interesting, sir. What's your name?
Ray. So, Antonio, what did God do for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell?
I don't know. Did he forgive them?
You actually do know, but because you don't understand it, you don't value it. Have you heard of Jesus dying on the cross?
Of course, yeah.
So let me explain the gospel to you and get your thoughts. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, it is finished, just before he died. He was saying, paid in full. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, and you plead guilty, a judge will let you go if someone pays those fines. They say you're guilty, but you're out of here because someone paid your fine, and it's legal. Well, God can legally take death off you because Jesus paid the fine in full on that cross, rose from the dead, defeated death, and if you'll simply repent of your sins, that's more than confessing them to a priest. You actually turn from sin and put your trust in Jesus like you trust a parachute. God promises he'll forgive every sin you've ever committed and grant you everlasting life as a free gift, not because you're good, but because he's good and kind and rich in mercy. You're going to think about what we talked about?
No, definitely, yeah.
When are you going to repent and put your trust in Jesus?
I believe I've been repenting.
Up until today, you thought you're a good person. You never saw sin as being as serious as what it is. And so having that thought that you're basically a good person means that you're not sorry for your sins. And if you're not sorry for your sins, you'll not truly repent. And the Bible speaks of repentance unto life. So what I'm saying to you today is, Antonio, I want to see you in heaven. I want you to be born again. I want you to trust alone in Jesus. I want you to call upon the Lord today, not just repent for your past life, but say, God, I need your forgiveness. I've been doing things that are morally wrong, and this day I totally trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So definitely. When are you going to repent and put your trust in Jesus?
Starting today.
Starting today. May I pray with you?
Yeah, of course. Let's try it out.
Are you sorry for your sins?
I am most definitely sorry for my sins. I am appalled at my sins. I beg to be forgiven for my sins.
Okay, well, let's bow in prayer and I'll pray.
Amen.
Maybe you can pray
Amen.
After me. It's up to you. Father,
Beautiful.
Thank you for Antonio. Thank you for leading us to talk together today. I pray he'll remember his secret sins and find a place of genuine sorrow, true repentance. He'll understand your love expressed in the cross and how you destroyed death because of your great mercy. And this day may he be born again, be given a new heart with new desires, with the knowledge he has everlasting life, all because of your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Antonio, do you want to pray?
Yeah. Thank you, God. May you forgive me for my sins and everything that have caused all the damage, all the hurt. And keep leading me to a path of righteousness and kindness. And forever will I be spreading this throughout humanity in order to make the world a better place. Amen.
Amen. Do you have a Bible at home?
I don't.
I'm going to give you a Gospel of John, which is the fourth book of the New Testament.
Right there, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that he actually got him to pray, to talk to God on his own, that right there is what it's all about. Ray Comfort. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I know today's topic is a little tough, but, you know, because we all embody those bad fruits of the Spirit. All of us do, sometimes. Nobody, like, it's not like I'm sitting here going, oh, you're going to go to hell because you embody those bad fruits of the Spirit. We all embody those bad fruits of the Spirit. What we need to do, though, is we need to recognize those bad fruits when they come. We need to give them to Jesus and repent every single time. If we're not patient, if we're not showing love, if we're not showing joy, if we're not showing kindness, goodness, gentleness, if we're not showing those things and we're showing the opposite of those things, then we need to give it to Jesus, pray, repent, all of it. Because there's nothing you can do to save yourself. And there's no amount of good that you can do to override the bad that your flesh is going to do every single day. So you have to have it washed by Jesus. It's that simple, folks. Well, I'm going to take you out the same way I brought you in. There it is. We're going to listen to some good music. I love you guys. I know this hour goes by quick, but Mike Crispy is coming up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America Like Every Day. Thank you guys for being here today. As always, you hear that song playing. We're going to end out. We're going to end up strong. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you very much. Put yourself in front of that mirror of the Ten Commandments daily, and you will not be sorry. Thank you very much. Have a great morning, folks. See you later.
Breath, God, that I'm able. Oh, I'm gonna sing.